Oh my gosh, I will never forget the time last week on Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast when that thing happened.
Oh, Mrs. Peanut Butter Butcher. Oh, if you're feeling nauseous, just put your head between your legs. Oh my gosh, she just threw up all over Mrs. Snodgrass.
Oh, she's gonna feel awful about that. She's gonna feel awful about it. I just know it.
Oh my god, he just threw up all over her. Oh my god. Oh, don't you come in here.
Go that way.
Here they are again. Two fat people who need help. Cliff and Kendall.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall and all the friends are here and ready to go. And now that you, the listener, are here, we're ready to start the show.
This week we're up.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall.
Oh,
here we are. And Cliff, I do have some sad news though.
Our
wonderful, wonderful producer, Mr. Snodbottom.
Oh,
he has had a stroke this week.
Oh no,
don't play that music, Taps, because it's not time for him yet. He's not gonna go. He'll be around forever.
But I still felt like it was the day the music died today, earlier this afternoon, when Mr. Snodbottom, he was sitting there reading his paper.
Irritable Bowel Gazette.
He was reading his Irritable Bowel Gazette, you know, having his afternoon bowel tea, and he had a stroke just right there in the middle of the office. And I really think, no offense, I really think it was the stroke talking when he said, Charles the Contractor should produce the show.
Yeah, I think, or he was just in his vicinity and he pointed for who he wanted the show to be produced by, and I think he just hit Charles the Contractor.
Maybe, I don't know what it was. It was
a terrible idea.
An aberration in the timeline, but
Charles lets me bring food in here, Cliff.
Charles.
I've got
Charles
peanut.
Put the food in here. Kendall, you know, I know it's okay. We eat in here too, but we don't sleep in here. No, we don't.
It does smell extra stinky today.
There's a B and there's an O.
No, don't play that with O.
Is what I mean.
So, you know, the first thing he did when he was asked to produce this show was
take a nap.
Yeah. And he woke up and was like, oh, I forgot I have to think of a show.
I woke up, went to the bathroom, scratched. I know. It is. He's nodding yes. It is.
Get your hands out of your mouth.
Well, we were going to do Budo. Mr. Snodbottom,
I thought it was finally time in honor of him having a stroke.
Yeah, he said, listen, guys, episode 3-0, whatever. Budo. And we said, okay, assassination, what happened? Let's delve. Let's uncover. Let's be PBS here.
That's what would never be PBS. They don't do that.
So I feel like the Cookie Monster probably has at some point. Just going to say it. But anyway, we're going to do Budo. But then, Kendall, what do you know? Charles, the contractor, he says, no, put the Budo file back in the file drawer. Give it to Austin to take down to the basement. In our storage space down there. And he said, what else did he do? What is the show about now?
We're talking about Handyman, Cliff. Handyman. Of course. What he thinks he is.
The great handyman of all time. Is that the topic?
No, Cliff. We're going to give Handyman tips. Tips for handyman.
For
how you can be a handyman around your house.
Cliff. How can you do it? How can we be a handyman? I've been a candy man, but it can't be that hard.
Be a fat man.
Whoa, born.
Ouch, truth hurts.
We were born that way, you know.
Unfortunately.
But, Kendall, how hard could it be to be a handyman if you do it?
He is so mad.
Right? he didn't care. He knows we're teasing.
Cliff.
Yeah.
If you have a toilet that you need to replace.
Toilet replacement. Oh no, Kendall. When did we sink to this level of talking about toilet replacement?
Well, Cliff, I want to refer you back. I want to refer you back to Charles the Contractor. See, Charles the Contractor. thought that if he's producing the show, he's going to save some money. And so what he did was he told the writers, take the week off.
Oh, my God. Poor Betty Cratchit. Who's going to feed the damn cat?
I know. So he said he was going to write this week's script. He said this week he was going to write these tips for handymen because he is a handyman and he thinks he knows more about it.
Terrible idea. Did he also know that he could pocket the money that the writers would have made?
I'm sure he did.
Good God, what else have you written for the rest of the show? I shudder to imagine.
Talking about toilets.
Toilet time.
You gotta replace the toilet. It says here, Cliff, unscrew the toilet and pull it as hard as you can until it pops off the floor. Then cut the water off.
Oh, no.
Be sure to mop up all water that spewed out and sloshed all over you.
Oh, I want to spew just thinking about it.
Then put some glue down on the floor around the hole and screw the new toilet into the old spot.
Oh, Kendall, all this talk of holes and screws.
It's getting you excited.
Oh, my God.
Connect the new hose. You have to use duct tape on it to have different size.
Kendall, all this talk of holes and screws makes me want to Frodo his baggins.
And then just turn the water on. You have replaced your toilet. Be sure to keep towels around the toilet for leaky spots, Cliff.
Remember, Charles and I, we had a good day once. This reminds me. One day, I don't know where you were, but
probably off eating somewhere.
Charles and I were in the break room, and we watched The Golden Girls together, and it was the one where they replaced the toilet. And the toilet
that's where he got the inspiration for that
is
one.
Sitting in the living room, and Sophia says, oh my God, it's an old woman's dream. Oh my God, that was a nice moment that we shared.
If only there was a toilet in our living room, Cliff.
If only there were, Kendall. Speaking of handyman tips and ways that you can be your own personal handyman. You can be your own personal handyman. How about if you got one of them squeaking doors?
Oh, I hate those. I hate them.
If they're squeaking, it sounds like a rat dying. And here's what you do. You just spray a little bit of that WD-40, if you've got it, into the hinges. And you just wiggle the door back and forthwards with the lubricant. If you don't have WD-40, hey, bow. Why not?
Hey, about.
The word he came up with. Hey, about trying to lube down the hinges with some petroleum jelly. Or if you have any spare.
That's foreplay for Charles.
Oh, God. Or failing that, how about if you've got any spare tubes of motion lotion running about on the bottom of your floorboard of your pickup truck like Charles does, you could use that as well. And then those squeaks be gone, Kendall.
Oh, that's the most awful thought I've ever had in my life.
Squeaks be gone.
Cliff, goodbye, you've got to change a light bulb.
Light bulb time.
I want you to grab a hammer.
Oh, if I had a hammer, I'd change the light bulb in the morning.
I sing that song about 3 times a day.
I'd bash in some heads in the evening.
I carry a hammer around work sometimes and say, oh, hit them in the head.
And you feel like Dexter, don't you? Like, I could.
Oh, I could. I've worked on enough scary crime shows. I would know how to get rid of the body.
I could. You eat a prop.
A prop.
Oh, well, this is a realistic rotting corpse.
Like, you outdid yourself. You put, like, smells in it and everything.
Oh, smells? Oh, my God.
So, anyway, take that hammer and pop the bulb. Make sure the switch is off.
Oh, I had a friend who was known as a cherry popper. He would love this, yeah.
Then unscrew the bulb by the base. The bulb is too hot to handle when you turn it off. That's why it's important to pop the bulb first.
All this talk of unscrewing and being too hot at the base just makes Frodo his baggins, Kendall.
Oh, God, if I would have known that you would be feeling this way over handyman tips, I would have told Charles, absolutely not. Cliff, then you screw a new one in.
Oh.
And that's how you change a light bulb, according to Charles.
My God. Kendall, here's what you do. Speaking of squeaks, you pip squeak. It's been years since anybody's called you that. But hey, Squeaky Frome, if you've
been
got
about 40 years, I feel like.
If you've got not only squeaking hinges, but a squeaky floor, a case of the squeaky floor. How about for a temporary fix, if you've got a wood floor there, you can sprinkle some talcum powder over the noisy area and just sweep it into the cracks. Or any other powder will do. Flour, cocaine, whatever. It's best if it's white. Sugar, powdered sugar, but that will draw flies. So, there you go. That'll fix the squeaky floor. And there's a note on here. I don't know that I believe it. He says it also works on carpet, but I don't know if that, I don't see how that could work.
Cocaine in your carpet?
Cocaine in your carpet. What a way to start the morning.
I would just like to say Cliff and Kendall do not condone cocaine in the carpet.
Cliff.
I know that this is a problem that you have got. Okay. Finally, Charles himself, the contractor, has a solution. This is obviously a problem. I know this problem he's lived through his whole life. He's got a stained bathtub.
Oh.
You know how the bathtub, you start off with the best of intentions of just keeping it beautiful and pristine, and then before you know it, there are horrible stains from who knows what, and how do they get there? But they're there, Kendall. I know that this is a problem. Let's bring it out into the open now. It can happen in the bathroom.
A stained bathtub.
Ooh. Stained bathtub.
That's my worst, or a bathtub, my worst nightmare.
Oh, it's a terrible nightmare.
That's why I Clorox bleach my bathtub every night.
Oh my God. Kendall basically, he has no lining on his nostrils because he's so face down in bleach so often.
I live my life in bleach. I do.
Scrubbing. But anyway, Kendall, if all your scrubs, if you ain't got,
I ain't got no scrubs. If Charles knew this would be such a heavy referenced music show, he would have never let us do Handyman Tips. He thought, let me pick the one topic they would never be able to sing a song about.
Oh, Kendall.
That's what you get, Charles.
All this
you get.
Talk of men.
Charles in charge hands. Of our lives on this show.
Kendall, if you got the stain tub at home, how about you do this? Why don't you, in a bowl, combine equal amounts of cream of tartar and baking soda with some lemon juice. Just make a paste.
Oh, that'd make me too hungry, Cliff.
Rub the mixture into the stain with
your fingers. Oh, now I'm getting excited.
Fingers.
Rub this. Cleaning and food.
Oh, my God. Kendall, that's like when George Costanza, he wanted the trifecta of sex, television, and eating all together. And it just didn't work. But anyway, Kendall, you just rub that into the stain and let that sit for an hour. And then you just rinse it with water and voila. That same stain is going to be gone.
Voila.
Kendall, the stain is going to be gone. You're going to go in and you're like, where the F is the stain? Cliff, I thought I was stuck with that forever. But Kendall, he does. There's a quick note. He says, if you don't have cream of tartar, you can use one of those little packets of tartar sauce from Captain D's. He's done it before many times.
I was just about to say, I wanted to go get some tartar sauce now.
He's done it before with only a packet of tartar sauce and a can of Country Time lemonade from the vending machine. And he said it works pretty well.
He would.
It works long enough for him to get out of town.
See, I never would make it back with the tartar sauce. I would just
want to
eat it.
Oh, Kendall, I don't ever want you to go somewhere and not come back. I am bound for that bright city.
Where the streets
are paved with gold. Kendall, do you have a minute?
I got a minute for you, Cliff.
Do you have a minute for some media?
It's time for Cliff's Media Minute.
Oh, Kendall, the media this week. The media. I don't even know where to start with the media. It's gone out of control for this week, Kendall. Hollywood is... people just can't stop talking about this. I know that you've heard about it down the street. I know you've been at Ralph's shopping and overheard loud conversations about this.
I usually do.
I know you've been stuck in traffic on the 405 with the windows rolled down and heard radio stations talking about this from other cars.
Batman.
Coming in. What?
Batman?
I don't know any Batman news. I'm not aware of any new Batman news. But Kendall, you guessed it. Celine Dion. Canadian, French-Canadian chanteuse, Celine Dion, the voice of a generation. She's put her Florida mansion up for sale, Kendall. It's all anybody in Tinseltown's talking about. And Celine, she's asking just a little bit of $72 million for the place where that includes a carousel in the closet and a water park.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Indeed. Kendall, guess what else?
What?
In other news.
What?
In other news, you probably heard this too. Everybody's talking about this. Do you know?
Everybody's talking.
What beloved rock star? Speaking of, everybody's talking at me. I don't hear a word.
What rock star did that?
Only the belches of my mind. Kendall, no, not me, not my perfect pitch, but guess who else is ready for a comeback, Kendall? That's right, beloved musician from... I want you to guess, what musician do you think we're ready for a comeback? He's a classic rock artist. I bet you can get this. He's poised for a comeback.
I don't have any idea.
Oh, Kendall. The alarm's going off. It's time for school. Get up. It's time for school, everybody. Music fans all over the world are getting ready to tune up their hi-fis again because guess who? Your favorite and my favorite Beatle, John Lennon, is set for a comeback. He's set for a comeback, Kendall. Oh, this is only going to happen in 2013.
See, I would have never thought him, Cliff, because I was thinking he was set for a funeral.
Oh.
Whoa. Whoa. Whoa.
Kendall,
whoa,
no. Whoa. The funeral is over, and it's comeback time. John Lennon, he's going to come back via the man. A man recently bought one of John Lennon's old teeth at an auction a few years ago, and he's going to clone. Gonna get a clone made of the soon to be immortal John Lennon, the walrus.
This is a joke, right?
No, this is not. Kendall, do you want to hear something weird?
We're into weird news all of a sudden.
Give a minute for some weird media. Kendall, research, this is what the guy said, the tooth owner. He said, with researchers working on ways to clone mammoths, the same technology certainly could make human cloning a reality, and to potentially say I had a small part in bringing back one of rock's greatest stars would be mind-blowing. And would it not be? Would it? If we all watched him,
mind would be blown. That's like the Truman Show. that's the equivalent of the Truman Show because everybody would be watching this little kid.
The mom, your mom and dad, like, oh, why don't you take up a piano lesson?
That's terrible.
Why don't you play the guitar?
That's a good movie.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, Kendall, imagine.
Yeah, it's a good premise for a movie, not for real life.
How much concert tickets would cost. Kendall, here's to you. This is dedicated to the once and future, John Lennon.
Let it be.
Let it. Speaking words of wisdom, bring him back. All right, Kendall, that's all I got. It's all the media I got. Kendall, I'm done media talking to you.
Thank you, Cliff. Finally. I've been waiting for those words.
Oh.
But I've got to take a break.
I have got to take a break.
Oh, we will be right back right after this.
All right.
Don't go anywhere. Cliff and Kendall are just getting started.
I've eaten a lot, and then I cried, and my bowels exploding inside. All I know is the incredible bowel pain I'm feeling. Fiber, the only way to move the impaction I feel every day. And all I know is that I can't stop eating. Thank you. Yes, if you want to get your bowels moving, why not try your daily dose of fiber? It's the only thing sure to get that stuff moving out the back door. This is Cliff and Kendall for the Fiber Council. And your body's working in a private place. It's working hard to eliminate waste from your body without a trace. Eat fiber. Five.
Coming in at 9.0 on the Richter scale and crashing straight through the bathroom scale, here they are again, the hosts of Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast, Cliff and Kendall.
We're back, Kendall.
As you can see, we've found some food that Charles left in here. Mm-hmm. I think he just brought all this in for himself, and then he forgot that he had to stand over there behind the glass.
Yeah, well, when he first was asked by a very woozy Mr. Snodbottom to produce this show, I think he was just a little confused as to which room he would be in.
That's what I mean. He just was eating away over there.
Well, you know, he's around so many fumes all day long. Who can blame?
You mean our fumes?
Our fumes.
Oh.
Again, are you talking to me? Me?
Are you talking to me?
Are you talking to me?
Are you talking to me, Kendall?
Cliff, I am talking to you.
Kendall, I've got some movie quotes. I want you to tell me what movie they came from.
Okay, now I do too. And I'm afraid mine are from some of Charles's favorite movies.
Oh, mine too. Kendall. Okay. Oh, my God.
I knew it. I knew he was doing it to both of us. Cliff.
Kendall.
Disturbing the peace. I got thrown out of a window. What's the F in charge for getting pushed out of a moving car, huh? Jaywalking.
Oh, Kendall. Beverly Hills Cop.
You're right, Cliff.
Oh, Kendall. Boom, 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 I'm so right.
You had to endure a song. Oh, right. You had to endure a song and a belt before you knew if you were right, Cliff.
Oh. You know, there's something charming about when Charles produces a show, I've got to admit.
Uh-oh.
It's a little more laid back around here.
Watch
right?
out, Mr. Snodbottom.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
I don't know. I'm in a glass case of emotion, Cliff. Did I say that?
Kendall, I am in a glass case of emotion. You said that, and Anchorman said that.
Oh, I do remember that from Anchorman. I remember that, too. I was watching the movie. All these people were doing that.
I had to laugh too.
Cliff, marriage is like a tense, unfunny episode of Everybody Loves Raymond. Only it doesn't last 22 minutes, it lasts forever.
Oh, I feel like that was said by Seth Rogen in something, but I don't know.
Well, Seth Rogen was in it. It was said by Paul Rudd in Knocked Up.
Knocked Up. Knock it up.
Knock it up, Cliff.
I got it wrong. All right.
Yes, you did, Cliff.
Get him, pardon my French, but Cameron is so tight, if you stuck a piece of coal up his ass, in 2 weeks, you'd have a diamond.
It's a Ferris Bueller's day off.
Ferris Bueller, he took a day off, and the world has never been the same.
Cliff, just when I thought you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this, and totally redeem yourself.
Oh, Kendall, I can't believe it. I feel like this is a movie that they took the headline of that article about us in the Podcast and Review Journal. Dumb and Dumber.
But that title did hurt.
It did hurt. It did. They didn't have to run that picture of us where we look like that.
But hey, you know what? It could have been worse. It could have been fat and fatter.
Oh, God.
They missed an opportunity for that one.
Well, they thought, why go for the obvious? Kendall, I see you're drinking 1%. Is that because you think you're fat? Because you're not. You could be drinking whole if you wanted to.
Oh, I forgot. I've heard that a lot, but I forgot what it was.
Kendall, the one, the only, Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, I was just talking about that movie at work the other day.
Moon boot time.
Ned, I would love to stay here and talk with you, but I'm not going to.
That is, of course, from... I can't place it. I'm going to say it's from one of Charles' favorite movies. I'm going to say it was probably 12 Angry Men.
No, Cliff, it was Groundhog Day. Ned Flanders. Or not Ned Flanders.
Ned Flanders.
Whatever his last name was, I forgot. Needle Nose Ned, remember?
Everyone hates Ned Flanders. Kendall. Oh, he's so handsome. Just like his reward posters.
I have no clue.
It's what Charles' favorite from his childhood. That's Disney's Robin Hood.
Oh, Robin Hood. I don't think I ever saw Robin Hood.
Oh, my God. You must have. Where the rooster sings.
I've got it, but I've never seen it.
Oh, my God. We have to watch this movie. It's the best. It really is so good.
Charles says, we got to wrap this up, Cliff.
Wrap this bitch up, y'all.
That was his words. He made a big sign and said, wrap this up, bitches.
Mm-hmm. Wrap it up.
All right, Cliff, I am no longer talking to you.
I'm not talking
to you either.
Oh, God.
Cliff?
Yeah?
There is a place that at least...
There is a place.
At least, even though Charles is producing this show, it'll get us away from this for a little while and go to another special place.
Another special place we can go.
That's Bushelltown, Cliff.
I'm talking about Bushelltown. Bushelltown. Oh, there's the trolley.
There's the trolley. Charlie, what do you think about Charles producing the show this week?
Oh, my God. Oh.
Oh, well, that's exactly what I said to Cliff when I heard that.
Burn.
Oh, Charles, you might want to not listen to all this.
Charles is
doing it all. Oh, God. That's awful. Well, Cliff, why don't we go ahead and go to Bushelltown and see what's going on? Charlie, take us there.
Let's go.
This week's journey to Bushelltown is called Nothing Could Be Further From Finer Than the Diner in This Diner. Floki Snarge sat on the end stool of the lunch counter at Blozell's Meat and Four Diner, located in the heart of the East Bushelltown Diner District. Floki had just finished his noontime fiber meal mush and was scouring the want ads as he was desperate for a job.
I am just desperate for a job.
Floki had been out of work since an accident at his previous place of employment. The records regarding Floki's accident show that he slipped in a puddle of melted ice in the hallway behind the rye shucking machine at the rye shucking factory. But in his heart, Floki knew the truth, which was that his melted ice slip story was a lie. Oh, would you like anything else, dear?
You got a job back there? I'm just kidding, unless you do. I cleaned slop buckets at the rye shucking factory for 17 years up until last April when I lost my job after the accident.
Accident? What accident, you poor thing? I want to hear all about it.
Well, I was carrying a slop bucket down this hallway when I saw a big, shiny spot of melted ice up ahead. Like a goddamn idiot, I just kept on walking, and I slipped and flipped a desk in my back, and I ain't never been the same since.
Oh, and they fired you? All for a flipped disc? I think you should call an attorney.
Well, I kindly deserve it. I weren't much use after that disc flipped when I slipped in the hallway.
Oh, you poor dear. What did you say your name was? I want to add you to the prayer list in my local church. The preacher will chant your name as he handles a poisonous swamp viper all the glory of Christ.
My name? Leonardo DiCaprio.
Bless you, dear.
Well, thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
Floki, the jobless man, so full of secrets he gave false names to waitresses, sat for a minute more and then circled an ad in the paper, placed a tip for his waitress by the empty bowl, and left. Oh, that poor man! Oh, oh my! This tip, this cannot be a whole stack of $2 bills! I thought they stopped making them years ago. Oh, and this mini will buy a great number of poisonous snakes for us to worship with. Yes, Floki's left a stack of bills to a kind waitress and started driving. As he waited at the red light, he thought of the unseemly way he came into so many stacks of rarely produced $2 bills. It had happened before his accident, which of course hadn't been an accident at all.
I remember when I first heard about the Rye Foreman's collection of $2 bills. It was over a pitcher of rye cider when I dated that lady who swept up the rye shavings. She told me Sal Mineolo, the rye foreman, had been collecting stacks of $2 bills his whole life on account of his father's obsession with watching farm animals mate. He kept his whole $2 bill collection in a safe in his office at the rye shucking factory. Since my own father's obsession with ballroom dancing had driven me to be a petty thief, I knew I had to steal them $2 bills. So I went on a diet, and over the course of 18 months, I lost 347 pounds, just enough so I could squeeze into the air vents one night after work, and then into Sal Mineolo's office and steal all that money. I did just that. I ate right and exercised, and then one night I pulled off my plan with only one hitch. In my haste to leave, I didn't wipe up all the liquid plutonium I used to blow the safe, and I slipped and flipped a disc as I was leaving. The police investigated, but that blowhard Sheriff Frogblast never could figure out how I did it. The next day at work, I pretended to slip on some melted ice and cried out, "Oh, I think I done flipped a disc." Sal Mineolo was the first to come running and help. After that day, I swindled my way into some sweet insurance money, but my biggest mistake was taking 2 gallons of rye whiskey a day for the pain. I guess I shouldn't have believed my friend Dr. Willenbone. I didn't find out till after I was a hopeless alcoholic that he weren't actually a doctor, but that his first name was Doctor. His mama named him after Dr. Doug Ross from ER. The guilt and the rye whiskey, which I squandered each and every $2 bill on, by the way, have hollowed out my soul and left me jobless. Damn, this is a long red light.
But Floki had one last shot at redemption. The tour guide inside the Busheltown Museum of Out-of-Date Technology led Floki to Busheltown's last remaining functional phone booth, inside which Floki inserted 16 quarters into the slot and placed a call to one Billy Arm. After a conversation that lasted 98 seconds, Floki was again on his way to the outermost sector of the Busheltown Badlands. Cacti and jutting rock formations dotted the bleak, lifeless landscape. As Floki drove on the unpaved road, a cloud of dust rose behind him. He drove until he spotted his destination, a large moving van with the words "Bagel Delivery" painted on the side. Inside, there were no bagels, only Billy Arm and 8 armoires full of unmarked gold teeth.
How do? I'm Floki. I called about a job.
I'm Billy Arm. Folks just call me Billy. I'm a nice guy, don't worry. I just have some business out here in the Busheltown Badlands. The bleak, featureless landscape is very assistive towards the job we're going to today.
Okay, and what job are we doing?
Well, we're taking these armoires and we're burying them. I'd rather not say why. I hope you're okay with a little discretion, Floki. I can pay you $6,000, and just FYI, I abide by the well-known expression, "Ask me no questions or you'll be drawing flies."
Sure.
But I'm nice. I'm a nice guy bearing armoires in the middle of nowhere with another nice guy. Grab a shovel and here we go. Floki and Billy Arm dug for hours until long after the sun went down, and all 8 gold-tooth-filled armoires were in the ground. Billy Arm was just finishing writing down to the coordinates of the buried armoires, which he would later remember by buying a lottery ticket with those exact numbers. An idea he himself came up with, not after watching an episode of Breaking Bad.
Whew, that moon sure is bright out here in the middle of nowhere. Whew. And I sure am tired, Billy. Are we done? I think I need to drive to town and get another $2 worth of rye whiskey.
We're done. Thanks for your help. Your money's in the bag in the truck. It's by the cooler and that box of yum-yum cakes I bought.
All right, I'll grab it. Hey, thanks. What's this stuff in this box? Looks like thousands of tiny clear discs about the size of dimes. What could these be?
Oh, them. I really wish you hadn't found those.
What are they? They're kind of weirdly shaped. Not discs at all, really. And some of them have something on them. Something that looks a lot like...
Loki, I guess it's secret spilling time. I'm a serial killer, but don't worry. I have a code. I only kill people who find my box of souvenir fingernails that I ripped off all of my victims and keep in that box you're holding. I guess I should quit leaving that around.
Billy, I mean, I didn't mean to say.
I also abide by the other well-known expression, one slip of the tongue and your life's done.
Well, durr! 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 Durr!
Later that night, one man drove back under the light of the moon which was the only witness, the only one who knows what else is buried beside eight armoires full of golden teeth out in the Busheltown Badlands, on a piece of land miles from anything, a piece of land whose coordinates can be found only on a lottery ticket that's now held to a refrigerator by a magnet that bears the ominous phrase, Bagel Delivery. That's all for this week's Journey to Busheltown. Now back to you, Cliff and Kendall. Oh, Cliff, that was such a dark journey to Busheltown.
Okay, and it's getting dark in here because Charles has turned out the lights and gone home.
He's wanting to save money. He's like, I'm done.
I'm done.
We said we're just going to go until we finished what we want to talk about. Until we do that.
The Charles, yeah, I feel still feel his spirit here. I feel
his spirit is strong.
His spirit is strong in this one, Kendall. You know what? I'm not opposed any longer. My mind has been changed. I think Charles is the new guest producer of the show.
Whenever Mr. Sunbun's out, we will let Charles produce the show.
He has defied our expectations while still being a walking toilet.
And that still makes me sad.
It really does make me sad.
I can't believe I'd ever say that.
I can't believe you'd ever say it.
If our listeners are as sad as I am, go to cliffandkendall.blogspot.com, facebook.com/cliffandkendall, twitter.com/cliffandkendall, emails at cliffandkendall@yahoo.com, or give us a call on our fat line at 818-3084-FAT. Why do I sense a song coming out of this one day off our record label?
Music is sad, don't you know? Cliff,
take me down something. Tell me a joke or tell me a quote.
Take me home tonight, Kendall. I will always keep a supply of stimulants handy in case I see a snake, which I also keep handy. And that was said by the one, the only, the Charles the Contractor of his time, W.C. Fields.
Oh, Cliff.
Oh.
Normal people believe it ain't, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Uh-oh.
Engineers believe that if it ain't broke, it doesn't have enough features yet. That's Scott Adams. That's what Charles believes, Cliff.
Scotty boy. You got me. Kendall, I am so clever that sometimes I don't understand a single word of what I'm saying, and that was said.
I don't understand a single word you're saying either, Cliff.
By Oscar Wilde. Kendall, over 300 episodes, and nobody's understood one yet.
Oh, God.
I'm Cliff.
And I'm Kendall. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you here next week.
We sure will.
Thanks for listening to today's show, Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. We'll be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe.